We are going to talk a little bit about gifts tonight. And I love the way your whole program was choreographed. It's really put together very well. I love the little children singing. That's one of my favorite songs. And how about that skit? Did any of you all identify with that woman worn out after a day of shopping and still trying to come up with those just right Christmas presents? Well, it's not always easy coming up with the just right Christmas present, isn't it? And it seems like everybody from Martha Stewart to Rosie O'Donnell does have an idea on what that just perfect Christmas present is. But it is difficult to pick out the perfect Christmas present. Let me see a show of hands again. How many of you were brave enough to actually say before this entire group of women that you have actually completed all of your Christmas shopping? Because I couldn't see you were behind me. Well, we just want to let you know that the applause you heard, that the only reason the women really clapped was because they were in church. Because secretly, all the rest of the women in this room decided at that very moment that they really don't like you very much. Because that's kind of the way we as women are, isn't it? But we are pleased, I guess, that some of you have finished your Christmas shopping. You know, the marketing moguls of the world have been hard at work trying to help the rest of us come up with those just right, perfect Christmas presents. And I know that based solely on the sheer number of Christmas catalogs that have come to my home this last month. How many of you have been absolutely inundated with Christmas catalogs? Does it seem like every other day you are hauling in a new load from the mailbox? There's no room for Christmas cards in the mailbox anymore. It's just catalogs after catalogs after catalogs. And I was looking at them the other day, and they just seemed to be stacking up. I seemed to be acquiring piles around my house. And I was realizing, I'm not ever going to get to sit down and look through these catalogs. I mean, who has time to actually look through all of those catalogs anyway? And I started to get a little depressed, thinking, you know, I'm not ever going to have the time to sit down and actually look through these catalogs. But then it dawned on me, instead of being depressed, I have come up with a new use for Christmas catalogs. And you all might want to take notes. This is the closest thing I'm going to offer to a Martha Stewart decorating tip tonight. But I've decided, instead of getting all depressed and flustered because I'm not ever going to get to look through them, I'm just pretending that they're Christmas decorations laying around my house. I mean, have you ever noticed how beautiful some of the covers on those Christmas catalogs are? I mean, they've spent a lot of money on the photography and the artwork. So I have a nice little Chambers catalog on my sofa that's got a picture of a quilt kind of laying over the armrest there. On my mantle, I have some lovely candles that are sitting there. You know, kind of faux candles. I don't have to worry about them burning the house down because I forgot to blow them out at night. Then on an end table, I have kind of my nice little Lillian Vernon, the latest, you know, because she sends out like 150 catalogs this month. But the latest has a pretty little Christmas tree, so I kind of have it sitting there on my end table. And I just look around and pretend they're all Christmas decorations. So instead of Christmas catalogs, I call them my Christmas catalog decorations. So that's a little tip y'all might just want to pick up for free, you know, and you don't even have to pay for those decorations. So that really is a great idea. But you know, you really can tell a lot about a woman from the type of catalogs that come to her house, can't you? If you think about it, you can really tell quite a bit. I never met the woman that lived in my house before I lived there, but I know a lot about her because I continued to get her mail for quite some time. And what amazed me is that she received none of the same catalogs that I received. And what I determined is that she must be a very unique, very fun gal, because all of her catalogs were from museum gift shops and really funky, kind of artsy, off-the-beaten-path places. And it really made me sad that she moved to Colorado, because I was pretty sure she was someone that I would want to meet. Now, if you were to go to my mother-in-law Irene's house and look at her catalogs, you would know instantly that my mother-in-law is a pretty classy gal, because her catalogs have a little bit of an upscale bent to them. And I always love to play in Irene's catalogs. As a matter of fact, on Thanksgiving, after we had all eaten and the rest of the family was huddled around the TV watching the mandatory football game, I did what I often do at her house. I played in her catalogs. And I picked up a couple of them. I took them in the kitchen and sat down. And as I was thumbing through them, I was absolutely shocked to see that she had a B.C. Clark catalog. Now, I wasn't shocked that B.C. Clark sent my mother-in-law a catalog, because that was a really wise marketing move on B.C. Clark's part. But what shocked me is that I have lived in this town my entire life, from birth on, in the town of B.C. Clark, and I never even knew they had a catalog. B.C. Clark is not sending their catalogs to my house. But as a woman, I felt duty-bound to open up those shiny little covers and see what little gems were inside. And you know, it didn't take me very long at all before I figured out why I was not on their mailing list. For when I started reading the descriptions and started looking at the prices, I realized I was in way over my head. And I knew I was in big trouble that I had found the lobster on the B.C. Clark menu when this one especially exquisite gift did not actually have a numerical figure next to it. But instead, in very fine italic print, it said, "Price available upon request." I knew I was in big trouble. I shut that puppy quick before I started wanting something that I could never have. But her catalogs are pretty upscale, and they reflect her. Well, after I had spent the day playing in Irene's catalogs, I went home and looked around at some of my catalog decorations and thought, you know, they didn't look very fun anymore. I mean, I don't do a lot of catalog shopping, and my catalogs are all pretty normal looking. I don't know about yours, but they're Land's End, Lily and Vernon, Toys R Us, The Learning Tree, those kind of things. So I was winding around a little bit about this to my friend Millicent. Now, my friend Millicent is a huge catalog shopper, and because of that, she has the most extensive catalog decoration collection of any woman I have ever met in my life. And she said, "Well, Vicki, I bet I can come up with a couple of fun catalogs that I would share with you. And they might give you some unusual, different Christmas ideas." So I was excited, and I went to church on Sunday morning, and Millicent showed up and handed me this plain brown paper bag. Now, I don't know what it is about my personality, but anytime I see anybody at church with a plain, unmarked bag, it makes me intensely curious. I guess there's kind of a cat-like curiosity about me, and it's like that discreet little package just seems to call out, "It's a secret, and I don't want you to know what's in here." And it instantly makes me want to know, what in the world those women have in those bags? So I clutched my little bag, but of course I didn't open it because there's no telling what was in the bag. And I didn't want everybody else knowing what I had in my brown paper bag. But as soon as I got to the car, I did open up my brown paper stapled clothes bag. And what Millicent had in this bag was the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog. Are you all familiar with the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog? This is that over-the-top catalog for the person that has absolutely everything. And I do have a couple of those people on my list. So I was really interested to look at. I'm also not on their mailing list. But just in case any of you still have some hard-to-buy-for people on your list, I thought we might peruse through and do a little catalog shopping. The first thing that I found that absolutely struck me as amazing was for the baseball enthusiast. I'm sure some of you all have a baseball enthusiast on your list. And if you do, you might know a little bit about the Brooklyn Dodgers. Well, in 1960, for some reason, they destroyed Dodger Stadium in Ebbets Field. I don't know. This was a year before I was born, and I'm not big on baseball trivia, so I don't know about this. But they destroyed it. But some wise entrepreneurial soul thought to salvage all of the seats in the Ebbets Field Dodger Stadium. And somehow or another, through the years, Neiman Marcus has acquired some of those bench seats. And out of the goodness of their heart, they would like to share a seat with you this holiday season. But you know, it does cost just a little bit to go to a baseball game, and it does seem to be getting more and more expensive all the time. However, you may have, for your very own self, in your home, a triple Ebbets Field seat, that's a seat that seats three, for a mere $3,750. That's just a little over $1,000 a seat. I'm thinking that better be some baseball game that you've got on the TV. I don't know, but that's pretty crazy. Well, as I looked through it, the gifts got more and more extravagant with every page that I turned. And sure enough, I found another one that you might be interested in maybe if you have One of those adults on your Christmas list that never quite seem to grow up. Everybody probably has one or two of those in their family. And you might be wondering what to get them that this Christmas. Or maybe you just need something really unusual to decorate your nursery with. Well, Neiman Marcus is here to help. And what they have is a 12-foot tall by 22-foot in diameter, fully operational carousel. Now, I'm going to bet that most of the people on your list do not have a 12-foot tall, fully operational carousel. It has 6 hand-carved and artist-signed animals on this thing. It has 270 lights. It runs on a 5-horsepower, 220-volt motor. I can just hear my brother-in-law doing his tool time impression when he hears that right there. They are all signed by an audience, and the ticket to ride this little carnival ride anytime you want, $300,000. I know it's $300,000 because I looked at it 5 times. I have a problem with my O's. I'm always getting the commas and the dots mixed up. Once the figures go over a certain amount, they're over my head. And I continue to look, and it truly does say 300,000.00. So for $300,000, you can have your very own carousel to ride anytime you want. Of course, most yards large enough to house that carousel, The zoning laws in their, you know, subdivision probably would not allow it. So you might check on that before you buy that gift. Well, as often happens when I go shopping for somebody else, does anybody know what happens when you usually go shopping and you're trying to find a gift for somebody else? What do you usually find? Something for yourself. Absolutely. I am very familiar with the one for you, one for me shopping principle. And I really don't have a problem with that at all. And if you all were really honest with me tonight, you would probably raise your hands to let me know. I am not the only woman in this room that has actually bought a gift for somebody else that I liked so much I kept it. I have a necklace that I bought for my sister one year. I kept it, and then I told her about it when I wore it. Stacy, this is your necklace. You know, you're not getting it. So I'm probably not the only one that has done that before, but I did find a little trinket that I kind of liked here in this Neiman Marcus catalog. And really, it's not anything very fancy. It's a, you know, it's a very simple little item, but it's a box of Cracker Jacks. Y'all remember Cracker Jacks? Well, it's not really just any box of Cracker Jacks. You know, you got to keep in mind this is a Neiman Marcus box of Cracker Jacks. Although it does say in their advertising it's an authentic box of Cracker Jacks. I wasn't sure if that meant it was used Cracker Jacks or what the deal was there, but it is a box of Cracker Jacks. You know, I never was all that crazy about the caramel corn in a box of Cracker Jacks. However, what little girl, or what woman for that matter, can resist the lure of the secret prize inside? And you can just imagine, if I can get as intrigued as I do about a plain brown paper bag, what the allure of a surprise inside a Cracker Jack's box would have for me. And if you remember when you were a little girl, the chief primo prize was that adjustable ring. Do you remember the ring? Beautiful ring. Remember it had the little break in the back of the band, and you squeezed it together until it fit your finger just right, and it had that lovely gem that you just loved. And do you remember how sad it was when those little prongs finally broke because you'd squeezed it too many times? Or when the little gem just, you know, fell out, you know? So sad. Well, Neiman Marcus has improved a little bit on that treat, and they do have, as a secret prize in their Cracker Jack box, an 18-karat gold adjustable ring. Now, it wouldn't be a surprise if you knew exactly what it was, would it? So the surprise is that you don't know until you open the box if the real live gem is a ruby or an emerald or a sapphire. And the greatest thing about this gift is it comes in at under $1,000. So after looking at some baseball seats that cost $3,750, or a carousel that I'm going to get tired of going around in circles, my life goes around in circles, I don't need a carousel to do that, for $300,000, a little $1,000 ring is, that's like a bargain. That's like a steal. So if this was my catalog, I would do what women have been doing for centuries. And you know what it is, don't you? What would you do? You would circle that puppy, star it, dog ear the page, and then I would strategically place it where my husband absolutely could not miss it. Like maybe in his underwear drawer or something like that. But it's not my catalog, so I'm going to give it back to my friend Millicent. And I'm going to let her keep it. Why do we buy gifts? Why do we buy presents for people? We buy gifts because they're a way that we show people that we love and that we care for them, aren't they? And a really good gift tells you that somebody really understands you, that they have taken the time to really think about what it is that you would want, what it is that you would need. They've taken the time to shop for it, or possibly even taken the time to create it, hopefully not out of a toilet paper roll. Although I do have it on good authority, my daughter had to take 13 toilet paper rolls to school this week for my Christmas present. So somebody's watching Rosie. I didn't realize that it was on the craft corner, so I'm wondering what in the world they're going to do with 13 toilet paper rolls, but she really did have to collect 13 of them. So, you know, it is sometimes difficult to come up with what the right present is for everybody else. But it is something that we do love to do. And if I was really honest, I would tell you one of my favorite things in all of life is buying presents. I love buying presents. I love everything about buying presents. I love trying to think of what that perfect gift is. I love planning for it, shopping for it. I love purchasing it. And my very favorite thing is presenting it. And you know the look that somebody gets in their eye. You know when you have absolutely hit dead on the perfect gift. And for me, there is no feeling like that. I love buying really great presents. But you know, because of that, if I'm not careful, Christmas can be turn into some sort of a mission for me, where my assignment is finding that just right, perfect present for everybody on my list. Well, over 1,000 years ago, the creator of our universe looked out on all the lives that he had ever created, and he took into account each of us who would be created after that time, and he tried to come up with one perfect gift. What he came up with, it wasn't packaged in some elaborately decorated box. It wasn't only available in limited quantities. No, it was a one-size-fits-all perfect present that cannot be improved upon. And what he came up with was the gift of a Savior. And I'd like to read a little bit about that gift tonight. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 24. And we're going to read about the perfect gift that God chose for us. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to marry Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I didn't turn this on, did I? Sorry about that. Probably talk loud enough, y'all can hear me. Usually not a problem. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What was God's perfect gift that he chose for every one of us? His perfect gift was a Savior. His perfect gift was to come in the form of a baby born of virgin birth for each of us. Why did God choose this gift of Jesus? I think there are several reasons why God chose this gift, and the very first one is found in the 21st verse of that passage that I just read and closed so beautifully. The 21st verse says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Why did God give us this perfect gift? Because he knew that we would need it. He knew that we were going to make a lot of really, really rotten decisions. And because we were going to make a lot of rotten choices and rotten decisions, we were going to be in serious need of forgiveness. So that's the first reason why God sent this perfect gift of Jesus. The second reason can be found in John 3:16, probably the most recognizable verse in all of the Bible. And it starts out by saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Did you hear it? What was the motivation behind Jesus, behind God giving this perfect gift? He so loved the world that he gave. It was his love that motivated him to give the gift of a Savior. So he gave us this gift, one, because we needed it, two, because he loved us, and a third reason is because he created us to have fellowship with him. And the poor choices that we made, somehow they like bring up barriers between us and God. They hinder our fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us that we were created for fellowship. That was one of the main reasons that God created each and every one of us in this room, was to have fellowship with him. And you know that word fellowship comes from a word, koinonia, which means a partnership or an active participation where a lot of communication is involved. And that's the kind of relationship that God longs to have with you and I. And Jesus was his solution for us to be able to have that kind of relationship. Jesus is our go-between. He is what helps us get to God. Well, did we earn this love gift of Jesus? No. Can we earn this love gift of Jesus? No. It's just simply not possible. As a matter of fact, Romans 6:23 tells us that the price for our sin is death. That's a physical and a spiritual death, we know. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. There is absolutely nothing anybody in this room can do to deserve the gift of salvation, to deserve the gift of eternal life with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 does say that he has created us for fellowship. And Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that we get that fellowship by grace when it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, lest any man can boast." So there's nothing we can do so that one of us might say, "Well, I'm a Christian and I get to spend eternity in heaven because I've lived a better life." No, that's not the way God set it up. He set it up as it's a gift of grace. And that word grace means undeserved favor. There is nothing any of us can do to deserve the gift of eternal life with God. So what was God's perfect gift? It was the gift of Jesus. Well, how do we respond to such a phenomenal love gift? Well, I think it would be wise if we would take our cues from a group of men in the Bible that the Bible calls wise men. So we're going to look at Matthew 2. I'm just going to read about five verses here. Matthew 2, 1 and 2, and then I'm going to drop down to verses 9 and 11. And we're going to look and listen for how the wise men responded to this gift of Jesus. And this is sometime after baby Jesus has been born. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And then dropping down to verse 9, "And they had heard after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him." How did the wise men respond to that perfect love gift of Jesus? They bowed down and worshiped Him. I believe they accepted Him for who He really was. They bowed down and they worshiped Him. You know, the Bible is crystal clear on who Jesus is. The Bible is so clear that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to salvation. Not very politically correct, is it? But the Bible has stood the test of time. And Jesus is the only way to salvation. He's the only way that we can experience eternal life with God. In John 14:6, Jesus Himself says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me." That's what Jesus says about Himself. In Acts 4:12, the apostle states, "There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved." Jesus is the only way for salvation. Romans 10:9-10, two of the first verses that I ever memorized. I learned these verses in vacation Bible school. And the reason they have always stayed with me is the way the teacher taught them to us. She said, if you take 10:9-10, if you take the first letter of each of those words, you get TNT. And she taught us that those are the dynamite verses of the Bible. And because of that, I have never forgot it. Says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible's pretty clear on the way to salvation. It's pretty clear on what we need to do to experience eternal life with God. Well, the other thing that the wise men did, they didn't just fall down and worship Him, did they? And in the spirit of Christmas, I want us to read the last part of verse 11. The last part of verse 11 says, "Then they opened their treasures and they presented Him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." Now, these weren't just your average, regular baby gifts that the wise men brought on this journey. And, you know, we think we've got a challenge of trying to pick out the perfect Christmas gift for everyone on our list. Can you imagine being one of these guys and having to pick out the perfect gift to present to a baby who you believed was the Savior of the world, who had been prophesied about for centuries? Well, that was the challenge that they were up against. And there are three gifts that we read about that they brought with them. The first gift was the gift of gold. And gold was considered a gift that was fit for kings. In Eastern nations at that time, you would not go see a king without presenting him with a gift. And gold was considered a royal gift and a gift that was fit for a king. And I think that's one of the things I think is so interesting about these gifts is that there's such symbolism to all of them. And for gold, the symbolic meaning behind that is that it was a gift fit for a king. The second gift that we read about that they brought with them was the gift of frankincense. And frankincense is a gift that's considered fit for a king. And the reason it's considered fit for a king, frankincense is a very costly incense. The reason they considered it fit for a priest, is because the priest used it for special occasions. They used it for temple worship and they used it for the temple sacrifices. So frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. And you know that very word priest means bridge builder. And that's really what Jesus is for us, isn't it? He is the bridge that bridges the gap between us and God. So frankincense was a gift fit for a priest. And the third gift that the wise men brought to Jesus, that they presented with Him and laid at His feet, was the gift of myrrh. A very interesting gift to bring to a baby. And why the gift of myrrh is such an interesting gift is because myrrh was a perfume that was used for embalming. Myrrh was a gift that was fit for a man who was to die. An interesting gift to bring to a baby. But you know, that was the whole purpose that Jesus came, wasn't it? The purpose He came was to die, was to offer Himself up as a sacrifice for every one of us in this room, so that we could go to Him, so that we could seek forgiveness from the wrong choices that we've made. And on the basis of His blood offering, we could be made right with God. very significant gifts. So to be wise men or to be wise women, I think we need to follow in that example. And I think we need to continually fall down and worship Him. We need to continually be giving Him our devotion. You know, Christmas is because Jesus came. Christmas is because Jesus came. And as I was thinking about Christmas, I was realizing that, you know, Christmas is really a birthday. That's what Christmas is. It's a birthday. It's the birthday of the Savior of the world. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered something that a friend had gave me some time ago. And as an author, it pains me that I don't know who the source is for this, and so I can't credit them. But I'd like to read that with you tonight. It's something written from the perspective of Mary, Jesus' mother. I had a dream, Joseph. I don't understand it, not really, but I think it was about a birthday celebration for our son. I think that was what it was all about. The people had been preparing for it for about 6 weeks. They had decorated the house and bought new clothes. They'd gone shopping many times and bought elaborate gifts. It was peculiar, though, because the presents weren't for our son. They wrapped them in beautiful paper and tied them with lovely bows and stacked them under the tree. Yes, a tree, Joseph, right in their house. They even decorated that tree. The branches were full of glowing balls and sparkling ornaments. There was a figure on top of the tree. It looked like an angel might look. Oh, it was beautiful. Everyone was laughing and happy. They were all excited about the gifts. They gave the gifts to each other, Joseph, not to our son. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. Doesn't it seem odd for people to go to all that trouble to celebrate someone's birthday if they don't even know him? I had the strangest feeling that if our son had gone to this celebration, he would have been intruding. Everything was so beautiful, Joseph, and everyone so full of cheer, but it made me want to cry. How sad for Jesus not to be wanted at his own birthday celebration. I'm glad it was only a dream. How terrible, Joseph, if it had been real. Christmas is not about showing off or decorating or entertaining prowess. It's not about trees and bows and hollies and gifts and wrapping paper. Christmas is about a birthday. Christmas is a party, but it's a birthday party. And what I think is vitally important is that, like the wise man, each and every one of us remember to show honor to the guest of honor. It is a party, and we are all invited. We all have an invitation. And not only that, but we all get the party favors, don't we? And I love the idea of party favors. And we do all get the party favors. We get the benefit of forgiveness. We get the benefit of freedom from guilt. We get the benefit of peace and joy that the rest of the world really has no basis for even understanding. But the wise men brought gifts to their party, didn't they? Well, what can we possibly give to Jesus? There is a poem that I absolutely love by a woman named Christina Rossetti called What Can I Give Him? Just a portion of it that I'll share with you. You've probably seen it on Christmas cards in the past. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. This Christmas, let's covenant together to all give God our hearts, to give him our focused devotion. Let's covenant with each other here that we will not allow absolutely anything to take our focus off the guest of honor. Not that seemingly endless list of things to do, places to go, and people to buy for. Not the crowded malls or the quest for that absolute perfect Christmas card. Not the financial stresses or the mounds of food to prepare. But let's covenant together to keep our focused attention, to give our hearts to the guest of honor. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that God would find each of us celebrating the birthday of a Savior that we know personally. And that He would find each and every one of us fully experiencing and fully celebrating His all-time perfect gift. For it is wrapped with love, and it is the gift of Christmas. Thank you.